Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul with your host, Dr. Valerie N. Parker, businesswoman, author, speaker, and life coach. Dr. Parker is the president of Arise by VMP, which is a speakers bureau and public relations company. She is also the visionary and founder of the Soul of a Woman Foundation that brings awareness to domestic violence and children living in single-parent homes. Hot Topics from the Soul is a virtual lifeline to the community, discussing social and political issues, relationships, finances, motivation, and inspiration. For information regarding products, services, and resources, visit www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. That's www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I now present to you your host, Dr. Valerie Parker.
Well, good evening and welcome to another Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm delighted to be here with you another Tuesday evening, and we're going to continue honoring our fathers. I'm so excited about Dad. You know, I had a magnificent, fantastic dad. I do have. He is alive, and I tell you, it is just a wonderful feeling to be able to pick up the phone and say, Dad, I love you. Dad, this is going on in my life, and for him to give me clear and clean answers to what I have going on in my life. I have with me my co-host, Shirley Carter. Shirley, you there?
Yes, I am. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us this evening. I, too, am excited about honoring fathers. My father is no longer with me, but he was a strong presence in my life, as well as my siblings. So I'm grateful to say that we were raised by both parents. And this is an exciting show dealing with the fathers.
Yes, I can't wait to get to one of your offsprings because he is a single father. And we have with us tonight Calvin Brown, who is part of the First Family of Motivation. Calvin, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me back again, Dr. Valerie. It's a pleasure to be here. I just want to stand up. I just like to stand up and say, "Hey, there's some good fathers out there, and I'm here to represent."
Thank you so much for doing that. It is only fitting that we continue on with how we opened the show for this month with you and your brothers on talking about fatherhood, and you know, if I've had the opportunity to witness you guys in full effect being fathers. So I thank you, honor you, and salute you for, you know, being on the show and being candid and being a co-host for us tonight along with Shirley. I also have Willie McBride on the line. Mr. McBride, are you there? Okay, I guess he's muted his phone now. So we also have Eldridge Carter on the phone. Eldridge, are you there?
Yes, I am.
I am so excited about you. I had the opportunity to meet your little darling a couple of weeks ago when I was visiting in Lansing, Michigan. I had the opportunity to speak for Against All Odds, and I saw little Miss TT, and we were arguing back and forth about your height. You being 6'4", and I was like, you don't seem like you're that tall, but I guess because I see you like one of my kids, you didn't seem that tall to me. I could just still jump up and get you if I need you. So I'm excited about you being here on this show now. Your new father, you want to talk about, you know, how it's been for you? Because how old is TT, Tiana?
She just turned 4.
4 going on 40.
Yeah.
So how is it with you being a father, you know, having to raise her and, you know, because your little girl last week we had, you know, Calvin who's on the line and his brother Patrick, they raised daughters. So how has it been for you?
It's been an experience, I should say. Because at first I thought I knew what I would be able to do because I always wanted a daughter when I was younger. I said if I ever had kids, the first child I want to have would be a daughter, because I want to raise my daughter first, then my son last. But not expecting my daughter to be just like me, but throw so many tests at me that I wasn't ready for. And it made me look at a lot of things that my mom used to tell me when me and her would get in our little argument. And it's just like, it's kind of funny. It's kind of cute at the same most funny at the same time.
How is it cute and funny at the same time?
Because it's cute, because it reminds me, it makes me think back. I was in this same situation with my mom. I was my daughter and my mom was me. And through our little arguments or our little, where we butt heads or she tried to get her point across, I see a lot of myself in it. So I don't so much as look at it as being argumentative or anything like that. I look at it as it being cute because I can see myself in her, so I can't be too mad at some of the things she does. And it was unexpected for me.
Unexpected, well, Calvin, can you chime in on that? Because Eldridge is in his 20s. How old were you when you became a single parent?
I was 22, so I was probably not too
far. You were 22?
22.
Wow.
22. Yep. So,
I didn't know you were that young.
And very much so, what else to piggyback on what I was saying, my child, she was very energetic, a lot like me. Now one thing that I was very fortunate with, I had as a baby, she was a very good child, and I'd always been told by my parents that's the reason that Patrick came along is because I was such an easy child. They figured why not do it again? So we would argue and fuss, but she was very much so like me, very happy child. And when we butt heads, it would be funny because I'm like, this is a little me talking to grown me right now, and it's just a girl. So it's very entertaining, and you learn a lot about yourself through those situations.
Now, what advice could you give Eldridge, being that this is his first rodeo? She's 4 years old, and you've had her for, what, 3 years now, Eldridge?
Almost 3 years.
How has your life changed?
It's changed a lot. Actually, it's changed more than I thought it would. I can really say she's the reason why I became the mature adult that I am to this day. Because I think I would still be immature if I didn't have her. She was the person who actually made me sit down and look at myself like, I need to grow up. It's time to grow up now. I have a child. I can't be like I used to be and all that stuff. All that has to go out the window. I have to revamp my life. She needs a role model to look at.
How has that affected you going out? How does that affect you going out and wanting to interact with your friends and knowing that you have this responsibility?
Most of my friends didn't change. Like, I have more friends now that have kids than I did when I didn't have a child. So if I leave my house, I'm usually going to chill with some of my friends or close friends that have kids. So their kids will have, my daughter will have somebody to play with, and so she won't just be alone. It's like I got to do more family-oriented stuff than I used to, than just having fun.
Okay. Now, Shirley, you're there helping him, assisting him, but I saw and witnessed that he's pretty much on his own.
Yes, he does, and I'm very proud of him taking on the role as a father. I've watched him mature so much, and he's that father that he feels like I don't allow him to do everything he needs, but I see him do so much with his daughter that I've seen my brothers do with their daughters. He combs her hair. He's taught her how to dress herself, the everything down to learning her ABCs and counting and everything. Their interaction He told me at one point, I said, well, son, are you going to get in a relationship, a steady relationship, or what's going on? He said, Mom, I do have one. It's my daughter. That's my relationship now. And I have friends, but he doesn't see himself being in a one-on-one relationship with anyone right now because he's spending his time with his daughter and everything. And he demonstrates that. And as far as you know, being the father and the role model that he is, and I said he's matured a lot, and that he's not that young man that I saw that first had the baby. He's more that young man that, look, I have to be a father, like he said, and a role model to her. Because I think he's teaching her to look for a certain type of men in her life when she does get older. Her daddy is like her idol.
Okay. So, Elder, do you see that it will be more of a hindrance to you progressing forward into relationships as she gets older? Because I know she's a handful. And being that she's so young, is it going to determine more about how you select your mate?
Yes, because I also look at how, well, and even though I'm not looking for one right now, but I still, my friends and stuff, I check them out to see how they interact with her and how she interacts
okay.
with them. And if she acts like she doesn't like them or something, or she feels a certain type of way, like her body language will let me know if she likes them or not. And that'll determine on if I want to get closer to you or just keep you at my friend level. Because if she doesn't like you or she doesn't feel comfortable around you, there's no need for me to go beyond being a friend with you. Because if you're going to date me, you're going to date her too.
Hmm. Calvin, did you see that as being a problem with you raising your daughters?
It wasn't. A couple things I figured out. One, I just didn't. Like Elder said, it's a package deal, and I think in some respects it's easier for women because women.
I need
are
some more
clumsy.
Volume.
Can you hear me better now?
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
I think women are more prone to familyhood usually than men are. So a lot of my friends changed. And if I'm dealing with females in my life, if you wanted to go out and hang out and you really weren't into that family thing, it wasn't going to happen. And then even when I got involved sometimes, I saw that they wanted more of the focus to be on them, and my focus was my child. So that's why I remained single. I remain single, and like you just said, my child didn't like you, there was going to be a problem, so it was no need moving beyond that. I had a few relationships. I still have a long-term friend, a really good friend of mine, Wanda, and we were together for quite some time. We meshed, our kids meshed, and to this day, we're lifelong friends because of that. Her kids call me dad. My kids call her mom. We just never married, and things didn't quite work out, but that bond was never broken. Because we were two people that were the most important thing. We were important, but our kids nourishing and being healthy is more important than anything else. So it worked on that level, and it's very important. You've got to be very careful to who you plan to bring into your life and your kids' life, but who you're going to get out of your life, because your kids become attached. They're human beings too, and so you have. I was very careful. I was very careful that way with my children. Especially when they were young, and as they got older, it was like, "This is my daddy. What are you doing here?" So it's always a learning experience.
How hard is it? This question is for both of you. How hard is it to date someone who doesn't have any kids at all?
I'll take Elder. That one. Many times they
okay.
just don't. If they don't have kids, and they don't want kids, they just don't get it. They just don't get it, and why can't you take, no, this is my responsibility. And not only is it my responsibility, I enjoy being with my kids. so that they just don't get it sometimes. There are others that do get it, but most people who don't have kids, it is an experience. They just don't get it.
Okay.
I haven't experienced that yet. Like, I have a few friends that don't have kids, but they love interacting with my daughter. Like, they love her personality and, like, the aura that she gives. Like, my daughter is, like, somewhat of a character / actress. She can fit in wherever she wants to fit in. And she will have you like her. No matter what she's doing, you will like what she's doing. And she will have you like her. That's just the aura that she gives off.
Okay. I need McBride, I see you here, but I need you to press 1 so I can cue you in. If not, I need you to hang up and call back in, please. And I'm going to mute Eldridge out because I hear a lot of background noise and stuff like that. Now, Shirley, your father passed when you were quite young.
Yes, he did. Actually, I was 18 years old, just before my 21st birthday. My father was killed in a car hit him, actually. But for 20 plus years, I got to enjoy my father. I was his first daughter, so if that tells you anything, I had 10 brothers. And being the first daughter, I got, as they say, the special treatment. I was daddy's little girl. And if I wanted anything, it didn't matter. It was like, that's my baby. She can have it. And I recall those days, even up to 18, 19 years old, if I had a desire for something or saw something I liked, my father didn't matter. If it meant working on someone's car or doing some extra job on the side to make sure that he got me that. But my father taught me one thing about relationship is that a man and what I saw in him with my mother is that even though we were from the South, he showed me that man should stand beside you, not you behind him or, you know, him over somewhere else, because he stood next to my mom. I saw my dad work an 8-10 hour shift, come home and ask my mom, what's for dinner, babe? And she would tell him, well, I'm fixing this and that, and he will wash his hand, get right in that kitchen with her and help her prepare the meal for the children. And one thing he did not want her doing was working because, you know, she had multiple children and the little ones was there. He felt like it was his responsibility to take care of his household and his wife, that what she needed and wanted, he needed to provide it for her because he honored her and being the mother of his children. So that sort of put me in the mindset that I needed to be in a relationship with the man who honored me. But also my dad also taught me that I needed to step my game up too, that when it came to cars, don't just drive a car, know your car. He taught me simple things like changing oil, changing tires.
Yes.
Even in the home, what do you do if your husband is not there? Do you know how to stop a leak? Do you know how to take care of emergency situations? He taught me, my father had a 6th grade education. My mother had an 8th grade education, but they strongly believed in education, so much so that it was a family rule that you would not only graduate high school, but you would further your education either in college or some type of skilled trade. But there was no such thing as I'm not going to school. And we were not a C household. You better be bringing in A's and B's because you were not allowed to work until you were at least a teenager, 15, 16 years old, and then you were allowed to get some type of a part-time job. But if your grades start to slip, the job has to go. they had certain household rules that they had set before, and we stuck to those rules even after their death, because my mom died when I was 18, and my father got killed 2.5 years later by a car accident.
Wow.
So
wow.
My father had a big impact in our lives, a huge impact. He was that daddy that would come home. I would see him wrestling on the floor with the boys, always, you know, spent time, and he showed love to each one of his children. He, like, knew what portion of what made us happy. If it meant, come sit on daddy's knee, talk to daddy, tell me about your day, or let daddy brush your hair. You know, my father brushed my hair, and I could sit there on the floor while he brushed my hair, and I'd tell him all about my day, what's going on. So
wow. Now, Shirley, one of the things you said is that you had lost your father at an early age, but I have Willie McBride that on, and he's going to share what it was like for him growing up and not knowing his father at all. Willie McBride, are you there?
I'm here. I was here all along. However, I was not in the group, so I had to hang up and call back in. And I'm here now. I was very, very impressed with the two young men that I heard speaking prior. And they're young men, and the time that they're taking out with their daughters, I am a firm believer that a father should take that time with his daughter to set the precedent, what kind of a man will come into her life. And that's where mm-hmm. she get her foundation from. When her father is in her life, they are interacting together. He's training her, not just teaching her, he's training her. And I'm very, very impressed with those two young men. And I just want to say, continue the work that you are doing in your little girl's life. Spoil them. I believe every little girl should be spoiled by her daddy. And then that way she go for the real relationship. But as for me, Val, my life was coming up even until the day, this very moment I'm talking with you all, if my father walked in the door, I wouldn't know him. I've never met him a day mm-hmm. in my life. And just for the listeners, I'm 65 years of age, and I never knew my father. He wasn't there in the household. I was raised by grandma.
I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Okay, yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear
Hello?
You. Yes,
okay.
Speak.
Okay. It created a deficit in my life. A lot of things that a man have to offer to his son, to his family, it was missing. Grandmother, she did the best she could with us. It was a group of us there at the house. But that man figure, he left a void in my life. And I believe a lot of decisions I made was a direct result of the missing piece, which was my father in a family structure. I needed that authority figure there. Someone to give me direction, someone to hold me to commitment, someone to hold me to obligation, someone to hold me to faithfulness. It wasn't there. And as I grew up in life, I got in trouble, spent time in prison, in and out of that, and I contributed to my dad wasn't there, the man that was supposed to protect me, lead me, wasn't there. I had to make decisions on my own. Thank God for grandmothers and mothers We thank God for them. But there is an element when a man can be a man in his family. He's going to bring an element there that the wife or the mother cannot bring because it's given to him by God. He confirms the family. He is the one that validate that family, that where that young man can go out from there having confidence in himself, believing in himself. And that's what I was liking. You know, I was following the crowd. The crowd went east, I went east. They went south, I went south. And I miss that daddy's shelter, that daddy love. That sonship to a father is vitally important. It's vitally important for a young man to submit to a father figure and have that in his life. It would greatly bless his life if he do that. And by my life not having that for years and years, I was in my 30s before I found a man, and I found him in the church, someone to take the place of a father. And I submitted myself unto him, and a lot of things he straightened out in my life. And I believe it was divinely appointed for me to meet him, and it just wasn't the meeting part. I had to submit myself as a son to him, and he became my father. And he passed away here a few years ago, and I lost him. But I still remember the thing that he taught me. He taught me about being faithful. He taught me about being loyal, dedicated, responsible. He taught me those things. And as I raised four boys myself, and most of the time with those four boys that I raised, I didn't have any girls. I have four boys. They're all grown now. And I vow that I will not leave my boys, that I will be there for them. And even unto this very day, three of them is here in Florida with me. The other one live out of state. We get together often. I got one. Him and I get together every single morning, and we go to Dunkin' Donuts, and we set up
every morning. Y'all go to eat Dunkin' Donuts?
Every morning we go to Dunkin' Donuts. Before he go to work, before I get off on my day, we go to Dunkin' Donuts. That's just how, I mean, it's a vow that they will not miss what I miss, that I would give them all of me. And we have beautiful relationship, all four of us. You know, we have beautiful, beautiful relationships, and I enjoy it. I wanted a girl like these two young men have. Beg your pardon?
You wanted to. I said, let me ask you this, because I'm glad that you brought up the fact that you did find a male figure. And I was going to ask you that during that time, from the time you were a young man born to 35 years old, you didn't have an outside male influence in your life?
No, not a male figure.
No uncle?
Was there. Uncles, but they wasn't influenced. They didn't have an influence in my life. My friends basically was my family. I hung out with my friends. We did the wrong things and stuff. The men of my family, they was doing basically the same thing I was doing, so it wasn't much encouragement there. You know, they never took the time to pull me to the side and say, hey, listen, man, this is the way you got to do this, and what you're doing, you know, that wasn't there. So it was like I had to stumble through the night to try to find my footing in life. And I believe when a man doesn't have that man figure in his life, he takes what he can from his mom, from his grandparents, and sometimes it is good. They turn out good, but they still is a deficit in his life. And I've learned that. I was sitting down one day, Val, and the Lord gave me a poem. Could I share it?
Yes.
It says, I do not fear man or beast or demon. I fear God in a reverent way. My greatest fear is this. I will leave this world and never look upon my daddy's face, nor having felt his hand holding mine, or hearing his voice saying unto me, son, it's okay. I am here. Sir, I know you not. Some say the apple don't fall far from the tree. Maybe that's so. I know you through my ways, if that be true. My ways say you was a caring, dependable man, a happy man, a loving man in your own way. Maybe I carry my mother's way. Whatever the case may be, I want you to know, Dad, I forgive you for not being there for me. My question to you is this. How can you love that which you don't know? In loving imagination of you, Dad, I love you. Your son, Willie James McBride.
Wow. What type of state were you in that prompted you to write that at that particular time in your life?
Father's Day. It was Father's Day, and I was sitting there, and I was thinking, everybody else is celebrating Father's Day. I don't have a father I can call and wish him happy birthday. I mean, happy Father's Day. I don't have a father I can go and take him out to dinner. And I was just trying to imagine what kind of man were my father. I never heard no talk of him, about him. The only thing I ever heard here is you just like your father. You're going to be just like your father. No one never called father's name. You know, no one never took me to see him. He never came to see me, you know. And that prompted me to write that poem in loving memory of you, Dad. I love you. If I'm anything like him, I'm not patting myself on the back or anything. I'm caring. I care for people. I love people. I think to a great degree I'm dependable. And maybe that's true. The apple don't fall far from the tree. I may carry my mother's weight. I don't know. But that's
wow.
McBride's story.
Well, I thank you for sharing that, and I want you to hold on because I want to let Eldridge chime in on that and see what influences have been on your life with your dad. Is he around, not being around, and you raising your daughter?
I would say the reason I'm the father that I am today is because my mom being around and my dad not being around. Because my vow was to never be like my dad. Never, and nothing, to be nothing like him at all. Because it was like he tried to be around, or he'd be around when it was convenient for him. It wasn't about I want to be there for my sons, or I want to see my sons, or anything like that. It was when it was most convenient for him. And I never liked that. And it put a wedge there. And it made it even worse for me because I was named after my father. So I would always be like, I would never be this way. Never. It's like everything that was done to me, I made a mental note of not to do. everything that he did and how he did what towards us and to deal with us, I made a mental note of that's not how I'm going to do it. I'm going to do the total opposite. And as I, the father that I've become today, I'm proud of it. And for like Father's Day and stuff, I give my mom a card. My mom gets a card on Mother's Day and Father's Day. Like, she was my male figure in my life. She was strong. She was independent. She fought for everything that she wanted. She stood behind her, anything that she believed in, and nothing ever swayed her. In my eyes, that's what a father is supposed to be there for. So I had my father. I wasn't missing anything. It was just the one person.
Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted you to comment on that. You know, my boys, they didn't have their father. When we got divorced, he divorced them too, basically, and I was left to raise them on my own. But one of the things I did have and still do have, which is a great force in their life, is my father, who taught me to be who I am, and I in turn taught it to my sons and to my daughters, and they are strong, productive individuals, and they have also said, like you said, Elders, I will never be like my father. And I've always told them, no, you be better than who he is or who you expected him to be, because that's one of the things that we all aspire as parents, is that for our children to be better than we are.
Yes.
It is something that we all want, is for our children to always be better than we are, and also pay it forward so that their children, your children, will be better than you are. And I think the gap has been broken. Would you agree, Calvin?
I definitely agree. Everybody's situation is different. Whereas my parents did divorce, but actually, to be honest, my father spent more time with us after the divorce, because that was a gap that he suffered in his life, and he was going to make sure it was not in our life. And because of that, he's been more than a positive influence on both my brothers and I, and my sisters and I. He stayed involved even throughout divorce, even through Miles. And he's helped us become the men that we are and become the fathers that we are. And one of the things that he did, I know my mother and father, they most certainly do not like each other. But the most important thing to them was having healthy children. And neither one of them talked bad about each other. And that's, you know, it's something you don't hear a lot of today. So we're healthier individuals for it. And it made my brother and I both, we're single fathers. It's made us better men and better parents, and that's the most important. That's the most important thing that both my parents have given me, especially my father, because he showed me an example of what a man should be and what type of parent. Even though he was stern and we did get our behinds whooped, he was also the tickle monster for. He's the fun guy. He's the party guy. My mother was more of a disciplinarian in the house.
Yeah, I can definitely attest to the mother being the stronger one and knew how to discipline, because I got it more from my mother than I did my father. But when my dad gave it to me, he used to say, "It's going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you, little girl." And I used to say to myself, "You've got to be kidding me." Because I tell you, I mean, they should just be getting out on parole right now. I just couldn't believe the brutality that I used to get. I mean, I said, I got to get a beating and punished. Why can't I have one or the other? I had to have both. So, I appreciate them, because, like I said, it taught me to be a strong adult. Whereas, you know, now these days, I have a foundation, the soul of a woman that serves domestic violence. And one of the things I did with my kids as they became teenagers, I would talk more and explain to them why this is the reason why this is going to happen this way. When I was growing up, mom and dad didn't do no talking. They just started swinging. And, you know, and we had to figure it out, you know, just to say leap and grow wings on the way down. They had to figure out, now, what did I do? By the time you spent punishment a week and 2 weeks in your room, You had enough time to figure out what you did wrong. Now these days you get on a punishment, get time out in the corner for maybe 10 minutes. You can't figure out nothing in 10 minutes. You just like, okay, I guess I'll do this again. Let me just try it this way and see, you know, if another 5 minutes won't hurt. So, you know, everybody has their different way of parenting, and there are definitely voids in individuals' lives where people are broken for one aspect, and you can, a parent could do one thing in this dispensation we're in, and it leaves that person crippled as an adult. And it is a tragedy that we're in a society where people still are hiding behind the veil, not able to communicate and say what's really going on in their lives. I know there are people that are listening now that say, well, you know, I had my father in my life, and, you know, he was a tyrant, and he was this, and he was that. But then when that figure is gone, and, you know, you can't redeem time. So, you know, just forgive yourself and move on. Forgive them for whatever wrongdoings they did, because what happened is that we perpetuate what we've been taught, what we've learned. And unfortunately, there's some good and there's some bad in doing that. And what my endeavor is to do for these next 4 weeks is show the different aspects of a father. But one thing is true and one thing is clear is that God created the man to be the head of the household. It is with him who's the head, and then here we are at the bottom with the net turning. But that head is supposed to empower us and inspire us and help us dream and think to be beyond what we are right now. And when that doesn't happen, we get a situation like you went through, McBride, where you wound up in jail and that emptiness, that loss. But as a child, you share how that was, even trying to communicate how you were feeling in a society where, let's say, the adults just didn't care.
Dr. Parker, it created a sense of anger. It created a sense of anger, and that anger led to hasty decision. It prompted wrong action because she is carrying around in you a sense of anger. You're angry at him for not being there when you wanted him to be there. He wasn't there to get toys like all other little boys running around with, and you see another man with his kids and stuff. I know it inspired in me a sense of anger and prompt the wrong action. It created a deficit, a void there, that the drugs, the drinking, the women's was incapable of filling, because, as you said, God created that man to be the head. He is the one that brings validation in the family. That's his role. That's what God assigned to him. And when you take him out of the equation, there's going to be an emptiness there in any child's life. It's going to be there. Again, let me reiterate. For these two young men, I applaud them. I really do. Young men, you all continue to develop that relationship with them girls. Love them girls. And they will never, ever, ever forget that. I was thinking what God told one of his servants. He told them, he said, take these children as a nursing father over into the promised land that I have promised them. A father is to be more than just a food provider. He is to provide for every aspect of that family unit. He is to provide that care and that comfort, that security. Yes, he brings in the money, but that's not even the surface of it. And the man of God asked him, he said, what you want me to do? Take these children as a nursing father I believe fathers should be nurses. They should nurse the family. They should nurse that little boy when he come, or that little girl when they come in from school. A professional nurse don't try to force medication on her patient. She waits, or he waits, and they able to give them the medicine. When Johnny come in or Susie come in and they all upset and stuff, just wait and they find out what the problem is. You're nursing that child to help, great health emotionally, because you don't want your children to wind up being angry. We see a lot of that out in the streets today. And all they need is someone to start nursing them as a father, taking interest in them. And it's hard work, but it's a work need to be done, because God said the children's hearts got to be turned back to the father, and the father's heart got to be turned to the children. And that's work.
You know, we're quickly running out of time, but I want each of you to give a closing remark and some encouragement to a man that may be listening, whether he be a young man, don't have any children, or one that just embarking on fatherhood, or someone that has been dealing with the absentee of a father as you were, McBride, and you know, give some encouragement, or if you have any self-help tools that have helped you in the process, if you would share it with the audience, because, you know, this is what this platform is for, to encourage someone to keep on pressing on, to pull back the layers and be transparent so that they can be the best person. As I said, we can never redeem time. No man has the ability to buy back time, but we can all forge our destiny, and we can do it right now, today. So I want each of you to take 2 minutes to give a empowerment to someone that is listening.
Okay. I just want to say, men, if you've never been fathered, you need to find that place of becoming fathered, that you can become that matured man, father, that you're supposed to be. Always remember, males are born, but men are made. Get under the tutorship of a group, if that suits you, get under the tutorship of a group of men, and be open, take away the veil, and submit yourself to someone guided.
Thank you so much for that. Eldridge, are you there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Yes. Any remarks, closing remarks you would give to a young man who's embarking on fatherhood for the very first time and who may be young in your age group, in his 20s, and what encouragement would you give to him?
My best thing, encouragement I can say that I've used is whatever you try, there's always more than one right way to handle a situation. Never the first way that you try, it might work that time, but it's not going to always work that same way. So it's always best to keep an open mind when you're raising your child, whether it be a daughter or a son. There's never the wrong way to handle a situation that is being brought to you, long as it's not drastically life-changing. Because you might handle it the right way, you might make a mistake, but that don't mean it was the situation you handled it wrong. You just made a little mistake in it. So next time you handle it, don't handle it the same way you handled it the first time. Handle it a different way and see which outcome is better for you.
Wow, that was powerful. Whoa, that was deep, because, you know, really, there is no manual. We can read all the books we can on parenting, but we never quite get it right, because each child is different, and that is, you know, magnificently said. Thank you so much for that. Calvin?
Yes, I will finish up with one of my favorite quotes from the Bible. And I think it really applies to men. From the book of Kings, be strong and show yourself a man. It is easy to do lip service. It is easy to talk, and it's easy to talk about other people. But be strong and show yourself a man. That means showing up every day in your child's life and taking care of them no matter what, because no man stands taller than when he bends over to help a child. And you're not going to be perfect, but your kids, if you're there and you're participating, they will think you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. I know I used to think my father was at the world when I was a kid, and I was upset when he kind of played a father figure to other people that didn't have fathers. And I look back now, when I read that quote, didn't mean anything to me when I heard it years ago. But as my children are grown now, I'm 48 years old, be strong and show yourself a man. And you're strong when you're in the lives of your children and making an impact so that they can have healthy, and reliable lives as well. Be strong and show yourself a man.
Wow, that is powerful. Whew, I tell you, Shirley, this has been an exciting show.
Yes, it has. I am really, really proud of my son, because he's you know, I know what's in him, and to hear him to be transparent and share with our listeners, I'm sitting here with a smile on my face. And Mr. McBride, I honor you in your position with your son. It's such a beautiful thing to be a father. And at 65, you still have that special time with your son. And your Dunkin' Donut visit, that is wonderful. And Calvin, I love you. And your quote, be strong and show yourself as a man. That is so beautiful to share with our listeners. And I salute all of you men tonight. Wonderful show.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that, Shirley. And, you know, Soul Retreat is coming up September 12th and 13th. And Calvin Brown will be in the house along with Ona and Serena Travis, which is his other sister. She's going to be chiming in and talking about her relationship with her father on the show. The First Family of Motivation will be at Soul Retreat along with Dr. Robert Lemon, Dr. Clarence Scranich, Shermita Wiggins, Sandrina Taylor, Carissa Carter, Blade Martin. I tell you, we're going to set it off there. One of the reasons why I do Soul Retreat is to empower and inspire individuals to tap into their authentic self. You know, there's so many different fragments and broken pieces in people's lives. No, it may not be domestic violence, but it could be the absentee of a mother, absentee of a father, or the loss of a child. You know, you lose a job and you get disconnected with yourself because of tragedy of some way, somehow. And that's what Soul Retreat is, to restore that which has been broken or lost. And we open it up with entertainment the first night. Why? Because people are entertainment driven. I don't want to have an event where it's depressing, because we're all endeavoring to be free. So we're going to open it up with entertainment, poetry, and then the next day we have personal empowerment. And as I said, the First Family Motivational will be there along with some other speakers. And then that close of it, we're going to have a 70s party where we got to have a live DJ and we dress in 70s gear just to have some fun, because I believe that after you go through that process or that journey and intermingle, you know, there's so many lonely people around, Calvin, that, you know, haven't heard your father's voice about, you know, it's possible and that it's necessary to tap into the next level. They don't know what that is. So I'm glad that you and your family are going to be there in the house to inspire individuals. Now, what your father's first book, Live Your Dreams, how can people obtain that?
His first book is now available on Amazon.com. We've taken a little slower to get up to the digital age, but you can, a lot of people, Live Your Dreams and Up Thoughts for Down Times, they're both available on Amazon.com for download. And I would recommend anyone that doesn't have it or even had an old copy and lost Live Your Dreams to get it, and that way you'll have it for a lifetime. It's a great gift. It's a great Father's Day gift. I'll recommend it to anybody. It's one of the books that he signs, and the many times that he signs for people, they have dog-eared copies of it, and people that go over and take notes over and over. So I'd recommend Amazon.com, Up Thoughts for Down Times, and Live Your Dreams by Les Brown. For download
thank you
today.
So much. Yes, you can download that immediately. You don't have to wait for it to be shipped to you. You just go on Amazon and put in Les Brown, Live Your Dreams, or Up Thoughts for Down Times, and you'll be able to download that on your computer, your iPhone. I got a phone. I finally got rid of my BlackBerry. I'm so excited. I'm learning all kind of things with that, but I'm so excited about being able to press into this new age of technology. And also go to my website, fromthesoulofawoman.com, and there you will find my new book, Unlimited Possibilities. You can also get that on Amazon, Unlimited Possibilities, Walking in Purpose, because that's what I want each and every one of you listening to the sound of my voice to do, walk in your purpose, because we were all born and created for a purpose, and you just got to tap into it to find out what it is. And if you purchase one of these books, Live Your Dreams or Up Thought for Down Times or Unlimited Possibilities, you'll be able to decipher that in your life right now. And then you can go to fromthesoulofawoman.com to find out information about the retreat. Come join me and see me live and in person, along with all these wonderful individuals that have joined me on this show and some of the ones that have joined me in the past. You'll get a chance to see them at Soul Retreat 2014, September 12th and 13th in the city of Fort Lauderdale. And we always want to leave you with something empowering. So, Calvin, close us out with something empowering tonight, a quote.
I gave you my quote earlier, but I'll give it to you.
You can say it again because it was great. Please do.
Be strong and show yourself a man, not just in word, but in deed and action. When it is more important than anything you can ever imagine, because no man stands taller when he bends to help a child. And that's from the good book, Be Strong and Show Yourself a Man. It's not my quote. It's the Bible's quote. And I don't mind saying it out loud. And I have taken a lot of inspiration from that simple quote. When things are not going right for me, I definitely say, look, Calvin, it's time to be strong and show yourself a man. We all, men love to say, I'm a man. Show yourself a man. Be strong. And that's it for me for tonight.
Well, thank you so much. That was a powerful quote. I'm so glad that you repeated it, because when you said it, I stood up within myself, and I'm showing myself strong as a woman. Good night, and God bless, and see you next Tuesday as we continue to honor our men. Thank you, men, for being who you are. Amen. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good night.